So I'm going to read from Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thank you, God, for your words. Shall I pray for you, Matt, before you come and speak to us? Lord God, we thank you for this amazing story, Lord. This amazing story that we celebrate each Christmas time, Lord. We just pray today that you'll speak powerfully through Matt, Lord, and by your Holy Spirit, you just reveal your truth to us, Lord, through this story that may be very familiar to us, Lord. Will you speak into our hearts, into our minds, Lord? Will you move us in some way by your Holy Spirit today, Lord, to help us to understand more about your sacrifice and the gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, for your glory. Amen.
Me and my wife Becky, I've got four boys, and so these are our precious boys. Can anyone guess who's who? To me, even if you ask me, I've got my own issue. So top left is Yaya, and then top right is Lewis, and then Billy and Theo. So Yaya and Lewis, Yaya and Billy look a bit similar. And they look a bit like me because they've got a slightly larger head than my head. And Billy and Theo are a bit smaller of that. So, we've got four boys and we've had four different birth experiences. Yaya, who's 12 now, it was Becky's first child. And so we went to hospital, I can't go to hospital early on a Sunday. And she ended up being like in labor for over 24 hours, being in hospital for a long time. And so it was quite a long, tiring experience for myself. I can remember that's been a really long time being in the hospital. Lewis then was totally the opposite, I think, because Becky was more aware of her body then and her feelings. She held on to the last minute, to the point where we went to the hospital, and literally half hour later, Lewis came out. You could have watched his tenders, and right at the end, you would have been out. Billy was born in water in Singleton Hospital, so like a water baby in that sense, and so that was different. And Theo then was our only boy born in Cardiff, all the others born in Swansea, but he was born during lockdown time. And so, all with everything that happened there, and I nearly missed Theo because he went into the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't allowed in. So I fell asleep in the car, and I woke up after 17 missed calls. But I managed to get there in the end. And all of our boys were different, and all different experiences, different places. But they were all extremely well looked after, all born under the NHS, really loved and looked after. The staff, lots of staff around, family nearby. Things were comfortable, they were warm, they were clean. So we really appreciate everything that happened. But our four experiences would have been very different to Mary and Joseph's experience, wouldn't it? The story that we just heard, their first experience of parenthood. And maybe even what we think of ideal of what a child should be born into. Almost this story is kind of the opposite of what we would want our child to be born into. And God coming into the earth would be very different to if we had it planned. And we've been doing the series now, this is the second part of Sticks and Stones, and different stories from the Bible relating sticks and stones. And today we're going to look at the manger. It wasn't going to be, I don't know what Billy said, Dad, why are we watching a Christmas story? And we kind of think sometimes it's just the Christmas, it should only be for December. But this is what's called the incarnation, God becoming a man, God coming down, stepping into humanity. And whatever we view it during Christmas time, this is a massive part of our story, and we can still learn so many things about it. And even with Sticks and Stones, as we'll hear, the host historians would differ whether it was wood or whether the manger was limestone. So this kind of mixes both sticks and stones. But the story is in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And the verses will be on the screen, but if you have your Bibles open, then it's Luke 2, 8 to 20. And it says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. And if we've been around church around Christmas time and know a bit about this story, we may know that being a shepherd was not a great job. It was not a well-paid job, it wasn't a respected job. It was mainly for people who were less educated. They were insignificant and out of sight. Often, like in the fields in the middle of the night, just looking after probably someone else's sheep, probably not their own. And to put it plainly, they didn't need to be part of the story. It's almost like they don't really add it. They don't need to be part of the story. And if God was not the author of this situation, I don't think anyone else would have thought or included or wanted the shepherds to be involved. No one else was going to say, we're going to make this amazing story, right, then we need some shepherds. Like, no one would have thought to involve these shepherds. And yet God not only involved them, but he sent an angel to them. Like the Magi, the wise men, these were rich, clever guys who worked out all the prophecies from the Old Testament and looked at it, and looked at the timings and by the star. And then they worked it all out from their intelligence and from their searching and research. And then they followed the star. These guys, who possibly couldn't even read, they got an angel. An angel appeared to them. An angel came and specifically appeared to these guys. And these guys wouldn't have been perfect guys. These guys would have been sinful guys. These guys would have been guys who have done things wrong, said things wrong, people like me and you. And yet the first words from God via these angels, because angels are messengers from God, the first words that God gives these guys is, do not be afraid. Isn't that the kindness of God? That God would visit these guys and say, don't be afraid. And I've said this before, so forgive me if you know this, but I heard it when I was 18 and it really helped me, humble me and kind of change my perspective. Because until that point, I kind of lived my life thinking, I don't need God. Like, I've got everything I've got, and I've got health, and I can do things, and all these things. I don't need God. And lots of people today live like that. They're like, even if God's real, like, I don't need God. But the reality is, like, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need the shepherds. He doesn't need your worship. He doesn't need your service. He doesn't need your love. And he doesn't need of me. And he definitely doesn't need your complaining, your moaning, like your sin. He doesn't need it, does he? God doesn't need you, and he doesn't need me, but he wants us. God doesn't need you, he wants you. God doesn't need to, didn't need to involve these shepherds, but he wanted to. And he wanted to involve the shepherds, so we could also then be included in this story and cause great joy for all people. God doesn't need you, he wants you. And the verse goes on, it says, today, so the angel said to them these words, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, even though these shepherds wouldn't have been educated guys, they would have still heard about prophecies from the religious leaders, from going to the synagogue, from being brought up in Jewish culture. They would have heard of prophecies about a Messiah, or someone who was going to come and free Israel, free the world. They might have thought about it maybe on a conflict side of things, or a warrior, but we read from the scriptures the greatest problem is our sin problem. Jesus came to deal with our sin, but they would have known about prophecies about someone who is to come. And in a book in the Old Testament, a book called Micah, who was used in prophecy, it said this in chapter 5, 2-5, it says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And he will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. For us who know Jesus, that sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? And this was hundreds of years before, but all these shepherds would have known that Bethlehem plays a significant part. Bethlehem, in this a town of David, that's where the Messiah will come. And even when the wise man went to Herod later on, he asked the religious leader, like, where is the Messiah going to come? And they said, Bethlehem. So these shepherds will know Bethlehem is the place. So even though they've seen an angel, which feels unbelievable, even though they now hear this angel saying the Messiah is coming in their time, which again would have felt unbelievable, even though it would have confirmed to them this prophecy now, which is happening in Bethlehem, which for them right now in their moment might have seemed being unbelievable. And even in the prophecy, it talks about bearing a son, and the Messiah is going to be a child. Even though that might have felt unbelievable, they know now all this is true, and so even though this is an unbelievable experience, the most unbelievable thing for them right now that is not yet true is to find a baby in a manger. Like, all of this, even though it seems crazy, it's all now just been proven true, and now they say, oh, and you're gonna find it's really true because you're gonna go and find a baby in a manger. And these guys are shepherds, and a manger is a feeding trough. And so, like I said, they might not be educated men, but they know babies don't belong in feeding troughs. They know that. And we have pictures, don't we, when we hear the word manger, weirdly for us, now manger, we probably think of cute, don't we, or snuggly, or warm, or it's well lit up with some little children placing a little baby in a doll, and we think, oh yeah, that's quite nice and warm. And so that's what we kind of think right now. But most historians would say actually that it was probably made out of limestone, and so rugged, maybe sharp, maybe cold, and even if it was the wooden one with hay, if I had one of my boys down the heath and they said, all right, Mr. Hopkins, we haven't got an incubator, but we've got one of these. I'm not going to be really happy with that, am I? I'm not going to be chuffed with that. But manger, maybe instead of thinking of the word manger right now, think of just a feeding trough, okay? Think of a feeding trough, maybe a farm that you've been to, or you've seen animals eat it out of when they're hungry. Think of a feeding trough. And we don't know what animals eating trough this was. It could have been sheep, it could have been donkeys, or it could have even been pigs. Let me just play on the idea of it being pigs, okay? And connect it with the prodigal son. Imagine it was something like this. Doesn't that image change your idea of a manger? It's not as cute anymore, is it? When you see pigs eating out of this eating trough, which is in connection to a story that's in the Bible called the Prodigal Son. And in this story, the son is with the father and with the comfort and the security and the blessing of being with the family. And yet he then takes effectively his money, his father's inheritance money, and he goes off and he parties it away. He wastes all the money. He ruins it all. He goes into debt. And all his money and all his partying is gone. And then he gets to the lowest point where he then is working probably for a Gentile, so a non-Jew, because Jews were allowed to eat pigs. And yet some of them kept pigs to them, save for the Gentiles. And so he then is feeding these pigs. That's his job. He's gone from being with the father to then out partying, wasting all the money, and now he is with the pigs. And it says that he got so desperate that he even ate the pigs' food, the pods. And so imagine the prodigal son eating food from a manger. Like, that's what we could have here. The prodigal son is eating pigs' food from a manger. And this is a picture of what it could have been like. The lowest of the lowest place for this guy's point in this human's life. And yet, that is where the Savior is born. The lowest point of his humanity, and yet that is where the Savior is born. Like, even if Jesus was born in Buckingham Palace, or the White House, or the Taj Mahal, or the greatest place, or the greatest hospital, or the greatest care system in the world, it would have still been like an eating trough compared to where he came from, wouldn't it? Compared to his glory in eternity, in heaven, where earth is his footstool, like, at our best would be just an eating trough to him. Because of the glory and the angels and everything that was created through him and for him and by him. So even our best would have been like that for him. And yet he denies what we have. He denies our very best and goes for the lowest of the low. He goes for the lowest of the low, not even in an inn, not even in a bed or a cot. He denies all of that and is born into our mess, into a manger, into an eating trough, into the cold, into poverty, into outside of this inn. And if you are in your lowest point of life right now, or if you're just in a low place of life right now, or you've been there, or you're going into one, I guarantee you something. I guarantee, even if you go low and you didn't even think you could go as low as you can, I guarantee that you'll find Jesus there. I guarantee you'll find Jesus there. I guarantee you can't go lower to a place where Jesus is not there, that he wouldn't come there. And it might be your sin that is taking you there, and he doesn't want you there because of that. Or it might just be the sinful state of this world or humanity or the effect of our bodies and sinners taking us there. And he wants us to be redeemed from all those things and for eternity to come. But either way, and Jesus will be there. If you ask him, if you call on him, if you seek him, he will be there. And we've got a room full of people here who've been in the lowest points, and we've found Jesus. Amen? We found Jesus, even in the lowest points. We have found Jesus. He's there. Because this story reminds us that he's born into that. He will come to the lowest and be born into that. We have a Savior. Check this out. We have a Savior who was born in a feeding trough and died on a cross. That's our Savior. He was born in a feeding trough and he died on a cross. And you can't get lower than that because he also came from the highest place. He came from the greatest place. And yet he came from the greatest place. And he started in a feeding trough and he died humiliated, possibly naked, on a cross. And he did that for us, to show us how much God loves us, and to die and to deal with our sins. And this is not, the shepherds don't just get one angel, do they? It says suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those of whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And Bethlehem would have been busy at that time. We saw in the story that Caesar Augustus in the video issued a decree, so everyone had to return to their homeland to do a census. And we think having a census is hard enough doing it through the post and the faff. Well, these guys would have returned to their homeland. And so there would have been other people like Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem at that time. And we even know, sadly, that there were other babies there and other children there, because sadly, Herod then killed all the children under the age of two to try and kill Jesus. So sadly, we would have known that there was other babies, other children in Bethlehem that time, because Herod killed. And these shepherds didn't have a star to follow. They just witnessed this incredible experience. It would remind them of the prophecy of Bethlehem, right? It's in Bethlehem. The Messiah has come. But they would have one key piece of information. A manger. They're looking for a baby in a manger. Because that's pretty unbelievable, isn't it? To find a baby in a manger. Like, either that, if they don't find this, they've gone crazy. And no one's going to believe them, and they need to go to the hospital because they're unwell. But they're going to find a baby in a manger. This is the key piece of information. So these guys are shepherds, okay? They know a manger is a feeding trough. So what does that mean? They're not going to look in houses. They're not going to look in inns. They're not going to look in hotels. So these guys now, imagine these shepherds going through Bethlehem in the middle of the night, looking through barns and sheds and looking for animals. It's almost like you just have 2 o'clock in the morning, so bring it to our shed. It's like these guys are looking in barns, in kind of outhouses, looking for animals, going around Bethlehem, looking for all these things, trying to hear noises. And it doesn't say this is what happened, okay? But this is Matt Hopkins' version of what happened. So this is not my market, this is my just a warning. But this is what happened, I think what happened. because I think putting Jesus in a manger was Joseph's idea. Okay? I think that would have been by Joseph's encouragement in trying to persuade Mary. He does say about Mary wrapping his falling cloth and made a manger, but I think it was Joseph's idea. Okay? So here's what I think would have happened. Mary has now just been exhausted through labour. We don't know how many hours there have been, but she's just given birth, the first child, and she's just there with Joseph in an outbuilding, whether it's a barn or something. We don't know. There could be animals around. But there's no room in. We know that, and so she's just given birth, and just the emotion of that, and the tiredness of that, and they wrapped Jesus in some swaddling cloth. Joseph would give, Joseph may help deliver the baby, and so Joseph then is gives Jesus to Mary, and so she has that moment. She's in pain, exhausted, but then so filled with love as well with this baby, and so she's having that moment. But then if any mums here know what it feels like, you have this incredible moment, but then all you want to do is sleep. And so she's exhausted, and so she wants some time. And so either her or with Joseph's encouragement, they put the baby in the manger, and Joseph says, Mary, you just sleep. I've got this. Okay? I've got this. I'll have it, or I'm awake. I'm fine. Mary falls asleep. And then a few minutes later, Joseph looks at Jesus or puts him in the manger in this feeding trough and thinks one, three times. I'll have a little of that. Mary will never know. It'll just be 5 minutes. And so Joseph falls asleep, and then Jesus is sleeping in the manger. So no sleeping. And then all of a sudden, whether a few minutes later or a few hours later, there's some noise. There's some noise happening in the room. And there's some like a wooden and doors open, and Mary startled, and Mary wakes up to find these other men in the barn, like looking, like kind of maybe with a torch or a lamp, looking, like searching for something. And she's startled, and they see her, and they're surprised, but they don't say anything. And she says, Joseph, and she's looking for Joseph, and Joseph's asleep. And she said, Joseph, wake up, Joseph. And Joseph wakes up and like kind of looks at Mary, and also, and then he sees these guys in the place, and so he doesn't know what's going on. So maybe he looks to then kind of maybe stand or protect or say, what are you doing? But before he gets to say anything, Mary says to Joseph, Joseph, where's the baby? And where's the baby? And Joseph realizes the baby's not in his arms, not in Mary's arms, and he remembers where the baby is. And he looks over to the feeding trough, and there's Jesus lying in the feeding trough. And Mary's thinking, when these guys go, Joseph is going to get him. That's what she's thinking. But before she can even say that, as he looks over and sees the baby in the manger, the shepherds then look over and see a baby in a manger, and they fall down and worship. They fall down and worship him, because this is the key ingredient that makes it all true. This is the key ingredient that makes it all true, that they were looking, they had these angels appear to them, they fulfill the prophecy, they know a Savior was going to be born, the Messiah was going to come, and yet, the last bit of information, they're looking for a baby born in a manger, in a feeding trough, and now they've seen it. And this is all true. This is all true. And they get to be part of it. And it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. And that's why this is the greatest story, isn't it? The greatest story, that God would come. Jesus would come into our lowest place. He would start off in our lowest place. So no matter how low we can get, Jesus has been lower, and he can meet us there. And that's where he starts off. And he would fulfill all of these things, and he would include us. That God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me, but he would include us to be part of the story, to be part of his family. And we get to just celebrate this and enjoy it. That the one went from the manger and went to the cross to deal with our sins so that we can become children of God if we trust him. And the prayer is for us, Lord Jesus, may we just be amazed again at the fact that you came for us. Lord, fill our hearts with amazement again, appreciation. Lord, this is not just a Christmas story for 1 or 2 weeks later. This is the foundation of you coming for us, Lord. And Lord Jesus, may we be amazed afresh about you. May we be excited about it again. Lord, give us boldness to tell people about it. Give us boldness to share this truth. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that people will be amazed in this. Lord, people will want to know this sin. Born in a manger. We're going to finish by watching this video song. It's called Arrival. The words are just beautiful. And maybe as you're listening, maybe just pray for yourself, maybe from a line that you have, and then Stu will come up and pray to finish. Just listen to the words on the screen as well.